What a blessing today it is to be able to designate a time today to honor life. We, in Sunday school this morning, I was sharing in my class, we live in a culture, a death culture, actually, because they do not have a value for life. It never was that way all the way. Over 200 years, our nation did not devalue life. We've always valued life. But here, we find ourselves confused in the 21st century in America. And we're kind of, I don't know, the church is in a place, a very awkward place. It should be natural to believe that life is God's plan for all people. It should be natural. But the scriptures declare in John 10:10, a thief has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm still here. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We're excited today. Don't know if you know that Oak Grove has supported the Pregnancy Care Center since it was first opened. And we were the first church in the city to take them on church support. And appreciate Pastor Webb and this church, Oak Grove. Before we came, you were already a proponent for life. And it's just like you. It's just like you, Oak Grove. And over this last 16 years, we have been with them, 18, as long as they've been in existence. But we've had 16 of the 18 with them. And every year they come, and they're in our pulpit. Every year they come to our outreach with the ultrasound bus, the medical unit. And we also had the privilege of being the first church to use that ultrasound unit. And so we're thankful that they not only do they support life, but they go in our city and they bring hope and life to people and young ladies and women in our community and around the state. And they're a proponent in D.C. And it was just a great weekend for life. This past week was a great week for life in America. And I think God can put a turnaround on our nation if we will turn our decision back to life and God's way. Give the Lord praise, would you? And we want to welcome today our speaker is Lisa McIntyre. She is the CEO of Pregnancy Care Center, and she's an incredible proponent for life and a great blessing to that ministry. Would you help me welcome her to the pulpit today, Lisa McIntyre? God bless you, Lisa, and thank you so much and your family for being here today.
Thank you, Pastor Ron. Good morning, everyone. I always feel like I should apologize right up front when you have such a dynamic speaker as Pastor Ron, because that's tough to follow, and I'm a recovering CPA, so I'm more comfortable behind a computer writing than I am in front of the camera that the young girls at PCC follow me around with. But I'm happy and proud to speak on behalf of life, so that can get me out of my CPA shell and connecting with all of you on such a wonderful subject. So the first thing I'd like to do is thank you, because you were the first church that supported Pregnancy Care Center when we were founded in the year 2000, and we are community owned. You are the owners, the benefactors of PCC. We don't receive taxpayer funds, and we receive very little grant funding, and that's mostly from local family foundations. So without our churches, without our families, without our individuals in this community who believe in life and put their money and their prayers and their time and energy toward life, we wouldn't be here. So I always feel so honored to stand in front of the people who make us possible. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't say it enough. So Pastor Ron asked me to speak this morning about sanctity of human life. So I wanted to give you just a little bit of history on how that came to be. So on January 22nd, 1984, President Ronald Reagan designated the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And that, not coincidentally, but happened to be the 11th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which is the Supreme Court decision that made abortion legal across the United States. You may or may not know that some states in the United States already had legalized abortion, but Roe v. Wade made it legal across the United States. So President Reagan designated the 11th anniversary as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. So it's kind of Sanctity of Human Life Day every day at PCC. That's what we do. That's what we're about. And it's not coincidental. It's a God thing, I'm sure, that Pastor Ron talked about the value of all life. And as I've prayed and reflected over the last several weeks and even a couple of months to prepare for Sanctity of Human Life, I wanted to know what God wanted to say. I don't want to get up here and just talk. I want you to hear what I feel like God has put on my heart. And that was it, was the value of all life. So sanctity is just kind of a fancy word for holiness or sacredness. But I'm kind of a word nerd, so I love thesaurus.com and to look words up. And my favorite definition was divine image. And isn't that what God says about all human life? That we were created in His image, in His divine image. But as well, let me back up a little bit. So I'm assuming everyone in this room at some point in your life has seen in person and or held a newborn baby. And when you do that, we get to do that quite often at PCC, praise God. They bring their little ones back after the birth, and we get to hold them and admire them. And it just brings the point home even more that when you look at these little lives, they're so fresh from God. They're miraculous, and they're unique. And you just know when you're looking in those little faces and, you know, their hair is different and their eyes are different from each other and their skin tone and their personalities. And you just know that there never has been and there never will be a human being exactly like this one. I don't know why it comes through so clearly when you look in that newborn face, but it does. But it's true for all of us, too, and for every person in the world. But as Pastor Ron mentioned, which, again, we didn't coordinate our little messages, but our culture gives a totally different message. So in a million different ways, our culture tells us that life only has value within certain parameters. So these little ones, in the case of PCC, you know, who we're trying to save, the culture says these little lives only have value if we assign value to them. So they don't have inherent value, but only if we say this child is planned, quote, this child is wanted, then that child has value. But as I've prayed about this last few weeks, that really rose up within me that is absolutely not the case. So let me give you an example of this. The culture says that if a child is not conceived within acceptable circumstances, then they don't have the same value as a child who's planned and conceived within marriage. Now, we know biblically that is the best way. I mean, that's God's way, is that a child would be conceived within the bounds of a loving marriage. But as you can imagine, very few of the children and the families that we see at PCC is that the case. So children who are conceived out of wedlock, or children who are conceived in poverty, or children who are conceived as a result of violence or abuse, according to the cultural message, suddenly cease to have value, or the same value. Not because of anything they've done, obviously, their innocence, but because we say they don't have value. And how many of you know that's a terrible tragedy? I can speak to this a little bit because I lived it to some degree. So my parents were teenagers when I was conceived. I was born in 1970. Abortion was actually legal in my home state of Kansas, but my parents somehow found the courage to choose life. It was a small town, and my parents were obviously terrified, and their families were ashamed, and I was not a welcome surprise, to say the least. In fact, my mom's family cut off support and relationship for a time, and it was a very difficult situation for them. So when I was probably about 10 years old, let's say, I was just old enough to kind of learn this family secret and start to process some of these ideas that we're talking about, I started to feel ashamed too. I started to question everything, why I was here. Did I have value? I started to feel ashamed, or like I was the one to blame for the struggles my parents had gone through. They loved me and they gave me the best opportunities they could, but it wasn't easy. It was very difficult. And I started to become overwhelmed with questions. Questions like, was I the reason my parents were the working poor? They worked hard, but we never got ahead. And they did it all without the benefit of a college education, because all of those dreams that they had when they were 17 and all the things they had hoped for kind of looked different or warped when they found out about me. And I started to internalize that personally. I started to ask other questions like, were other children more valuable because they were wanted? They were planned from the very beginning? And were all people truly created equal? Because I didn't feel equal. And if they were, why? Who says? So those are the kind of questions that really started to haunt me. And I couldn't shake sort of that inherent shame. I felt like I was an uninvited guest that ruined the party just by showing up. And how many of you know that's quite the burden for a young child to carry? And my behaviors and my thought patterns, quite frankly, reflected that inner turmoil and that lack of self-worth that I felt for many years. But I started searching for the answers in all the wrong ways, of course, at first. And then I started searching in the right place, which is God, the author of life. And I'm happy to tell you, obviously, because I'm up here today speaking on behalf of other children who were conceived in the same manner or worse than I was, that God gave me the answer. And I'm sure all of you know, and if you don't, I hope that you hear today that the truth is that all human life has value. And it doesn't matter how you were conceived, and it doesn't matter how much you quote, and I don't like this term, contribute to society. But isn't that another message our culture says to us? If you're disabled, if you're terminally ill, if you're elderly, these are all other areas where the culture says your life isn't as valuable. But that's not true. And in parts of the world, even sometimes in America, your gender, your race, your economic status, your level of natural intelligence, all of these things can be counted against you in terms of how valuable your life is. But I'm here to tell you, and more importantly, God's here to tell you that none of those things are true. That all human life has value from conception through natural death. And the reason why is very, very simple. It's because God says it does. Yeah. That's the reason human life has value. So don't, if you were like me and you've looked for 1,000 other ways to tell yourself that you're valuable, stop. Because God says you're valuable. He thought you up. He created you. He loves you. And that's enough. And that's what changed my life. and gave me self-worth finally after all those years of feeling like a failure for something that I couldn't control. I just showed up. It wasn't my doing. Now, I'm sure it's not hard for you to tell I'm not a theologian. I don't claim to be, but I love reading the Bible because it changed my life. And I can't read the Bible without this theme of God's personal, overwhelming love for every human being just arresting me. How can you read the Bible without seeing that? And as I've again, prayed and thought a lot the past few weeks, one verse keeps coming to me over and over, and it wasn't John 10:10, but that's a wonderful one. So we weren't that in sync, but it's one that I'm sure many of you know by heart, and my family will tell you it's one that I've clung to throughout my adult life, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans I have for you, each of us, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And when I read that verse, what jumps out at me, maybe because I was unplanned, and most of the over 10,000, we've had a few since the 7,000, 10,000 babies that have been born to PCC. Amen. Praise God. Clap for that. Each of those 10,000 babies was unplanned. But what does Jeremiah 29:11 say? I planned you. And not only did I plan you, I have plans for you throughout your life. And that just, it comforts me, it encourages me, it blesses me, because I know that's true for every one of those babies that come in the bellies of these scared young ladies that walk through our doors. More than 1,200 women and men and babies did we serve last year. So that verse just anchors me. It's one of many. But the other thing I pick up from that verse is that he wants to give us hope. All of his plans are for our good. Now, does it always feel like it? No. When you've been through disease, divorce, financial setback, whatever it may be in your life, it doesn't always feel like God's plans for us are good, but they are. That's what the word says, and that's what we cling to. But the hope, isn't that where it all starts? Anytime you're struggling, whether it's with unplanned pregnancy or any other issue, it all starts with a tiny flicker of hope. That's where the change can just take root a little bit. And that's what we at PCC want to offer every scared young woman, every angry young man that comes in our doors. We start with hope. We start with compassion. We start with kindness. Do you think they need us to tell them what they did wrong to come to us? No, they're not in need of judgment. They're not in need of correction at that moment. They're in need of compassion and love and hope and healing. And that's exactly what we're there to provide. Now, we don't sugarcoat the situations. When you're pregnant and you're not wanting to be, there are no easy options. None of it looks easy to them. These circumstances are very difficult. A lot of them have struggled for generations in their family with poverty, addiction, abuse, underemployment, lack of education. So oftentimes unplanned pregnancy is sort of a symptom, if you will, of many other hurts in their lives. And they just need someone to start with love and compassion. They have a lot of hard work to do. No one's denying that. But we're going to be there with them, walking every step of that journey. I'll talk more about our services after the video, but basically they're assigned a coach, a disciple, kind of mentor, if you will, that walks with them through that whole process until the baby is 4 to 6 months old, and longer if they need it. We also work with about 50 other ministries and nonprofits, not counting the churches. so that they can have their needs met in a holistic way without us trying to, I mean, we're not addiction specialists or, you know, we're not the victim center that can counsel regarding sexual abuse or crime, but we work closely with those agencies so that we can be efficient with the dollars and the time that we have available. But hope is where it starts. And what we want them to know is you don't have to be limited by what's happened in your extended family. I'm proof of that. I've broken some of the cycles through God's grace and my husband's love and compassion. My family is different than what my extended family was. And that's probably the case for many of us. So we can offer them that hope and say, you're not limited by what has happened in your past. You're not even limited by the choices that brought you here. Now you can do the right thing going forward. And you're not limited, as many of them feel that they are, by the thoughts in their head. They've never dared to imagine God has a future for them and a plan for them. So it's kind of easy to say, well, why can't they value their child's life? Let me tell you why. Because they don't value their own. And that's a tragedy. Have you ever tried to fill a cup from an empty pitcher? It doesn't work. You can't give what you don't have. So when you don't value your own life, how do you value a child's life? So we teach them that their child has intrinsic value, but so do they. So does their lives. And that's when God begins to work through that compassion and that truth and changes lives. And I'm so proud of that and so blessed to be a part of it. But we couldn't do it without you, without your prayers, without your partnership. Thank you again for your monthly commitment to PCC. We run very skinny. We only have about 15 team members, but we have hundreds of volunteers. I say team. The volunteers are part of our team, a very important part. Staff members. So we try to be very good stewards of what God's given us, but we couldn't do it without our volunteers and our community partners and our churches. So I've told you my perspective, but I would love for you to hear it from one of our clients. This is Morgan and her sweet family, Autry and Ivory. And then I'll come back just quickly and talk a little bit about other services we offer.
Well, I was at work and I had my friend bring me a pregnancy test, and so I took it, and within seconds it was positive, so I took like 3 or 4 other ones that day because I didn't believe it. Well, I didn't want to be pregnant because I was a senior in high school and I had a lot of other things to do than take care of a baby. I went to a clinic to get an ultrasound to see how far along I was, to see if I could take the pill or if I had to do surgical for my abortion. Because I wanted my boyfriend Autry to see it again, because he wasn't there for the first one to make the appointment. So my mom said that Pregnancy Care Center took ultrasounds. So I was like, okay, yeah. So he went with me up there and we got an ultrasound and the lady was talking to me. And I guess she's had an abortion before when she was like 17. So she was just telling me how it made her feel and like that I didn't have to do it. And so I still went all the way up to St. Louis. I decided to get in the car and go. And so we walked in the doors and we sat down. I got checked in. So I was sitting there talking to her and I wasn't really listening because my phone kept going off and there's a girl from Pregnancy Care Center texting me. She said, you can get up and leave, like we're all here praying for you, like God's here with you and he'll help you. So I brought my boyfriend and my friend Morgan in, and I actually went through Cheryl's text messages, and that's when she told me, she said, we're praying for you, get up and leave, like God's gonna be there for you. So I threw my head on the table and I just started crying, and they asked me what was wrong, so I showed them my phone and they're like, well, if you want to leave, let's get up and leave. So we left, and then I mean, on the way home, like right after we pulled out of the clinic, I had like a little vision. I was a little girl in a white dress on a playground. So it's kind of like he was giving me a little taste of what I was gonna have. And we went home and I put him there. After I left, it kind of was finalized that I was gonna have to take on being a parent and just embrace that I am pregnant. I just felt connected with Pregnancy Care Center. I felt like there was gonna be a support system when I did come back home. And I started going to Pregnancy Care Center and they have coaching. And so they just sit there and they talk about you, about stuff through the pregnancy and what you need help with. And then they have a program that's alternative to abortions. And that's even more in depth with what they provide for you. And my coach at Pregnancy Care Center brought up going to DFL. I went with a group from Pregnancy Care Center. During it, they asked who wanted to give themselves to God, and I just felt the need to raise my hand. I mean, God's just prepared me in the way to give me the strength to keep it together and actually be able to be there for her and take care of her and make sure she's healthy and happy. Then we went to the sisterhood a couple of months ago, and I stood up with Ivory and they told my story, and there was a girl there that night. Who had an appointment that weekend to get an abortion, and she got saved that night and she canceled her appointment. It's just really empowering what one thing can do, and God's taught me there's always a way not to give up, and there will always be something for you, something greater than you know. If I could talk to the nurses and all the staff members at Pregnancy Care Center, I would thank them and tell them that I love them, and I'm really grateful for them texting me that day.
Sorry, it always takes me a minute. I've seen that video 100 times, but can't you just hear the sweetness in Morgan's heart? And they're just a sweet little family. They come up quite often, and a few weeks ago I was leaving, so I was telling the reception desk where I was going to be, and the elevator opened behind me, and I heard this little pitter-pat, and it was Ivory, and she kind of looked around like, "Hey, everybody, I'm home." She just knows that we all converge when she comes. And I'm happy to tell you that Morgan and Autry are now married and have welcomed a second baby. Hallelujah. So they are flourishing. We're very proud of them. We're very proud of them. But they're an example where, you know, they really immerse themselves in what we had to offer. And you can see what God's done in their lives. And what a neat story that he actually saved two babies through that process because Morgan had the courage to stand up and tell her story. So you heard the coaching referenced, and I've talked about it. We also offer, this is something I think a lot of people don't realize, we offer 27 different classes in our education program that are open to the community. You do not have to be a client, and they're all free. So we have three classes on fatherhood. My husband is one of the volunteers that teaches fatherhood. He was a teen dad, so he knows of which he speaks. And that son is 32 now and blessed us with a grandbaby, Charlotte, a year ago. So the circle of life continues. So we have fatherhood classes. We have eight different nutrition classes. We have money management, anger and stress management, commitment counts, communication matters. Those are relationship classes. And of course, a plethora of classes on pregnancy and birth and cloth diapering and on and on. But I'm really proud of our education program because that's where a lot of the life change happens. Those aha moments we were talking about, where you kind of break outside your own paradigms and you get a new idea planted. So I'm proud of that. We also have an after abortion recovery program. This I'm also very proud of because we see women all the time and men who come to us and are suffering because of the choice they made for abortion. And it may have been 6 months ago, or it may have been, the longest I'm aware of is 40 years ago. We had a woman in her 70s come to a tour, and the tour was a little awkward. It just seemed like she wanted to say more, and she broke down sobbing and said that she was forced to have an abortion all those years ago. So what that looks like is a curriculum with a volunteer who is post-abortive herself, as are many of our staff and volunteers, so they know the reality of that. And we work with them one-on-one so that they can go in their own pace and they can feel comfortable sharing in that safe environment. So, you know, please refer people to us if you're aware of anyone who would like to start working through that process, because forgiveness is available, for God forgives, and a full life is available on the other side of choosing abortion. But sometimes they just need to know that and work through their own shame and guilt regarding that. That is what I had for you today. We have a little table set up at the counter out here. I would love to connect with you if I haven't met you personally at one of the neighborhood events or other places. So please stop by. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. And I would love to meet you. And thanks again for having me.